You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Galactic HoloNet, welcome to the Scum and Villainy Podcast. I am the host, apparently, Blair Bunky. Joining me is Kaelin Wong and Tyler Tippett. What's going on, fellas?
No, not much. We're live, still.
Just still here floating.
Wait for OP to get opened back up so we can dock.
Yeah.
True.
It's going to be a long wait.
Ugh. Well, I mean, we heard some stuff, so it might not be as long, right?
Yes, we have heard a lot of stuff. There'll be stuff coming out. The OP part of it's going to be, they still said it was going to be a bit, but we got a lot of new content, some big changes coming in the next couple, well, starting the end of this month of September, and then over the next couple of months into next year, there's going to be some very big changes to the X-Wing meta and list building and everything in general we'll be going through today. So, sorry to start off
with OP, they said they've got or at least doing Worlds and Adepticon in 2022, assuming that like it hasn't burned down.
Yes, they did say they want to do an Adepticon presence, and the earliest we're looking at Worlds or other thing events are looking at third quarter 2022 for the bigger stuff. But they have started. They mentioned they're releasing store kit or store level events. So, and the more casual side, they're bringing out some more packs of that. We'll be seeing what all those are about. And hopefully those will come in earlier months, so at least have some type of content. So this would be pretty cool. Right, should we just start from the top? So AMG did a stream, of course, yesterday, doing some big announcements. There's some reveals of some ships coming down the pipeline. It was general talk about X-Wing. And we got to see some ships down the pipeline, some artwork, some other talks like that. So. Can we just start from the top about the Razor Crest? Anyone?
Yeah. Blair, are you going to fly the Razor Crest?
I'll take a look. Focus of 8-bar lock, red barrel. Did they say what size its base is?
So, okay, it's all good. The Razor Crest is a medium base. It's a medium base ship. It has 3 attack, 2 agility, 7 hull. 2 shields and a very open dial. The dial has every maneuver on it, so it can do almost anything. Blues kind of suck because only straights, but a lot of options when it's not stressed to move around. It does have the evade action, so it's quite agile. So we're looking at it's similar stat line to a fire spray in the sense of the medium base at 9 health compared to 10 and 2 agility, but has the evade action instead of reinforce. So it's gonna be
what loses the back arc.
It loses the back arc only. It's gonna be. I think a lot of people can look at it almost kind of like the Shadowcaster. It's a medium based version of it, and it's nowhere near, of course, maneuverable. Green wise, stat very similar. No, they revealed also the Mando pilot card and some crew coming with it. The child. The Mandalorian itself is while you defend or perform an attack, and there's 2 ships in. If you're in front arc of 2 ships at range 1 to 2 or 2 or more ships, sorry, you can change one of your blank results to a focus result. This is both when attacking and defending. Pretty good ability, constantly adding focus results. If you have the focus or some way of modifying your focus results, you can get a consistent roll on every single roll you do. Which, of course, goes in with a child, adding 2 force to your ship. But you lose your reoccurring force icons. So you can only get force back due to the child's effect being after defend. If you suffer damage during that attack, you can recover 1 force. So it gives you consistent You're going to take some consistent damage, but you can consistently maybe reducing it down to one. So pretty good. Oh. Pretty good together.
Interestingly, could you combo that with Maul Crew and something?
So I believe that when you lose your recurrent icon, I believe most of those upgrades do not have it, and I believe you will lose all of them. I think this will take over effect.
But my point is, when you take damage, so you'd be double, you'd be getting two.
Yes, you can probably combine that together. The other way is looking at the child is available in three factions, Imperial, Rebel, and Scum.
It is. Why wouldn't it be?
Yes, because they had.
Thanks. I hate it.
Yeah.
AMG destroying the game.
The Merciless Pursuit condition that goes with it is you pick an opponent. So in a multiplayer game, you pick one of your opponents. They get to pick two of their ships to apply this condition. The condition is after from attack, if the defender is equipped with a child, you may acquire target lock on the defender. So whoever has these conditions, if they're shooting the ship, can cook. Holding the child, they get target locks after that attack. Designed to be, of course, the bounty hunters are the people chasing down the child. So, overall, it seems like some solid cards. I think the ship's going to be relatively solid, especially with that profile and ability with its dial. Anyone have thoughts on the ship? Blair?
I don't like medium-based ships, so meh.
Yeah, it seems like either the child or Maul is really... I'm guessing it's going to have a crew just based off of the series. Seems like Maul or the child would be a pretty good fit with the guy's ability. The child... I don't know how the card's going to play out, because... Yeah, it's not... Because it's crew. You know, it's not, you're not going to want to fly it, like, I don't think you're going to want to fly it on, like, something, because typically things that carry crew are medium or big base, they're not, like, AC-type ships, so since you're giving off these pre-locks, I don't think you're going to want to be, like, taking a lot of shots, per se. I guess maybe if you're Boba and that's just, like, what your goal is, then maybe... maybe that would work out okay. I don't know.
Well,
but
you think his ability to recharge force is pretty much like hate, right? Except you only regenerate one force instead of multiple based off each damage you take. Mm-hmm. And we saw how effective hate was on certain ships.
Well, yeah, if you have a big beefy ship with a bunch of HP, yeah, that could.
Yeah, but those big beefy ships and other factions now have access to essentially hate and the force crew that needed to give him force. Like
that's also true,
right? Like. We already know what people are willing to spend the force on, like Han at times or other shit like that. So, like, Han can boost and get out of arc, so you'll get shot.
Hold on, I wasn't paying attention well enough. Apparently, this thing's available in Imperial. I'm back in.
Yes, it's available in Pro, so you can put this on a decimator.
Like the child on a decimator, sure, half target locked, bro.
Yeah, it's like.
This is me not caring.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you literally could have this on. The desert. And it only has the one crew icon. It's only taking up one space, right? It's not taking up multiple. Maybe it should. It could happen down the line or other things. But yeah, like this is available to three different factions. It's like one thing, it's also available. Not available on Phantoms. That's before, a long time ago.
Yep. would have been pretty good on a Phantom.
Well, no, he couldn't regenerate the force.
I think I'd almost take enough damage.
Yeah, you don't take enough damage. You don't want to take damage on a Phantom, but like the decimator definitely. It's like
yeah, depends on what would it cost.
Yeah, well, or this spec is probably the child's probably going to be a should cost a decent amount, right? Like. If most force users are around the 12 to around the 12 point mark, the child's at least going to be 12, but probably more. Right?
I agree with that. Like Maul at 10 is like the child. Sure, he starts with 2, but like he has a negative. Like he has multiple negative traits on the card, right? Yes. Like Maul has 0 negative traits at 10.
Yeah.
Maul, you
get your force. Yeah, it's just you get extra force, right? Yeah. Like
you can get your force back for the cost of stress, which is not a negative. You don't have to stress yourself to get your force back.
Right.
This one, you have to take damage to get your force back.
Right, and two opponents get free target locks against you.
Yeah. which can be very devastating depending on what you're playing against. Like, sure, you play against a swarm, like two Z95s get free target locks. Like, not a big worry, but like, especially with the amount of ordnance that was been going around, giving out two
free. That and sure, just. I mean, even just a generic, like a three dice gun, right? Like that suddenly becomes scary, right? Like if for whatever reason I have two strikers on the field that can now just get big guns against you, seems pretty okay.
Or Suderfell, this constant can chase the ship and be on its own. It's like, oh, I get a free target lock every round in your ship with Suder. Perfect. I like that. There's some.
I don't know. I would not expect it to be as expensive as something like Maul. So we'll see though.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Being in three factions make it. Oh, maybe they point it differently in each faction. Probably, maybe not. I don't know. That is.
I mean, I don't know. I think we over try to point stuff on sliding scales and such.
Yeah, that is a lot to analyze. But yeah, we probably see the use of him. All right. Well, quickly skip through this. Heading into the next ship they spoiled, being the Gauntlet, large base ship. It's going to be very beefy. It's a 11 health, 2 agility. So it has 3 out the front, 2 out the back, 2 agility, 9 health, 2 shields. Its dial is very reminiscent to, for me, the U-Wing, except it doesn't have a 1 forward, but has hard 3s. Does not have any turnaround maneuver built into the dial. So I'm assuming it's going to have something built into a upgrade card. Otherwise, it's going to be too much of a brick.
I mean, lambdas don't turn around.
This
can actually turn.
This is
right. Like
that is this can turn. Yes, it's not allowed. But this is also like a fighter. It feels weird not having a. Even if it doesn't check
it, it's not a fighter. A medium based ship, right?
It's a large base, but I mean the class.
A large base, yeah.
Classification being in the, not I guess this is all in lore wise. It is a fighter. It's classified as a gun.
Sure. Yeah. Whatever. I don't care about lore.
Yeah.
Game mechanics wise, like I don't know. This I can see it not having any access to turning around. Seems fun.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's just like a houndstooth, right? Like it's got two arcs. It's just not a 180 out the front. It's
true.
Dual.
Yeah. Action bar being focus, red reinforce, target lock, and red coordinate. So it. Despite being also fighting it, it looks very much like a support ship. And with the two pilots we've seen, Bo-Katan in Separatist and Bo-Katan in Republic, both very squad-oriented abilities. Though Bo-Katan in Separatist can use it on herself. Looks pretty good. Before a friendly ship at range 0 to 2 activates, you may spend a charge. If you do, that ship can gain one strain token to remove one non-stress red or orange token. So that can be quite useful. Like I believe Tyler mentioned before the cast, you can remove target locks with this. You can remove pre-setups and other things like that. So there's a lot of good.
Like, hey, I can just come and joust your ordnance carrier, and every time you try to target lock me, I just dump it. Like, seems pretty okay.
Yep. They'd have to target lock you after you move.
Right. Yeah.
So, but yeah, that seems really good. It's very hard to target lock because since it's at the step of a friendly ship's activation, so if you have this ship besides...
If you have an I-6 ship, you're good.
They're pretty much good. Yeah. And we got to see the Republic version being, after you fully execute a maneuver, you may gain one deplete token to choose an object in your front arc at range 1 to 2. If you do, another friendly ship may perform a target lock action on that object. That can be really good. To set up
XR, anything, right? Like remotes, other ships.
Yeah. Any objects. That includes object is pretty much anything in the game So asteroids, bombs, your friendlies. The object that is an object, you can target lock a friendly with this. I'm not sure how that would affect in a Republic list, but still a very good ability. Also they showed in the spread there this gauntlet fighter is at least 4 factions in the spread. They had a Imperial color and scum color in there. And knowing just from the Rebels cartoon where Ezra flew around in the gauntlet they stole from Maul, probably going to be a Rebel version of this as well. Any thoughts on this ship?
The only thing with Bo-Katan is obviously she's not going to work if your opponent has, even an I-6, if your opponent has passive. But yeah, I think that's one way to combat these like new bits. If like Alpha Striking I-6s become a thing. And they're worried about losing the bid, so they can move in and lock you. Just bring Bo-Katan to not have to deal with that. But yeah, definitely looking like in that support ship mold.
Yeah. It's very smart. One niche thing it can do is if someone jams your ship that hasn't activated yet, you can remove that jam token beforehand if you really need your action or really need a token. Like, let's say I want to swap the jam for a strain. If that's a better choice for your ship at the time. You can remove tractor tokens, but it's not really going to help too much as they probably already moved you. But you can remove them on Mind Swap. You can also remove any stacked up ion tokens. So if your ship's getting ionized and not ion. Actually, this is pretty good. What happened? I guess the ship that gets ion doesn't get a dial, but you can remove an ion token with this before the ship activates.
Yeah, so it only works on like a medium or large base, really.
Yeah, because like I guess the small base ship will still have, but I have no dial, but it's not ionized anymore. But I'm assuming that the best way to operate it, it's still ion for that step. You just want to have the. Wait,
hold on, let's think through that real quick.
Yeah.
So I have an ion token. I don't have a dial, but I
you don't have a dial. Ion token.
Yeah, I would have to look at the rules reference of what if the ion has. So cause I know they specified if you had it. And you clear it with the green, you still can't. You still can only do the focus action during that step, and while you're holding.
Yeah,
it,
well, but like after you don't. So the thing is if you don't have an ion token, like you don't.
Yeah,
you're not ionized anymore.
After that, you completely. So, yeah, because at this step before you activate, you have the ion token. You activate. You're about to activate. You remove the ion token. What do we do now? You have no dial. You don't have an ion token.
You don't have a dial. It's an illegal maneuver. Your opponent gets to set your dial.
That is a very interesting. Because ion is a red token, right? It's a non-stress red token, correct? I'm not crazy. So, yeah, because it's either red or orange. Yeah, you can. That is a very weird instance that's probably going to be released with an FAQ when the ship comes out. And if not, we probably will see it very soon. There's an interaction that it's not clear what's going to happen. You could,
or missing something just very
very blatant. But overall, like ship, I think it's gonna be a good support ship. It's gonna be pretty hard to take down. Has there been a ship with 2 agility base and this much hull in it?
I mean, the fire spray, right?
Yeah, I guess the first one.
Like the fire spray is 10 base, right? We don't know if this will have a mod slot. It could be the same. So
yes. Okay. All right. And we know that there's a new upgrade coming out with it, being the Mandalorian Super Commandos, at least for the scum. So yeah. You can yeet your Mandos out the back, and they float around in space shooting their pistols at other ships. There's too much to wonder about this because it counts as a remote and has a bunch of text. There's a lot of things that probably need to be specified in a rules reference.
Just kind of float around. They get 2 shots,
yeah,
right?
They get 2 shots, yeah.
They get a focus to hit conversion on their shot.
Yeah.
And if an enemy ship overlaps you, it gains a strain token. Like, okay. Oh, wait, hold on. We're figuring out this live. They apparently updated the rules for this, for the ion token thing.
Oh, really? Did they post something just very recently, or...?
You are now required to set a dial that is not used for anything or considered a sign when you are ionized.
There you go. So if you are ionized, you set a dial still. But you get to the step where you're still ionized, you just throw away the dial. Hmm. This also could be used for, I guess, if whatever maneuver you're assigned is going to be for like abilities. Like, would that be the dial you would use to reference Django and Django's ability and like?
So it looks like if you manage to deionize yourself somehow, you are assigned to that dial.
Okay, and if you're still ionized, you remove the dial and you perform the ion maneuver. Man, referencing dials during the game feels queer as references to abilities and other things. right.
Derek Clivian could already do it, Kalen.
Oh, really? He could.
After you acquire Spendalock, you may remove one red token.
Okay. Red token user, because his old ability was a stress, wasn't it? Back in 1.0? I think it was. But I guess it was only other. That was the only like, red token. It was everything else was weird, so it was just specified. Interesting. Well, I guess, but Derek, it was. I guess you would have to remove. Someone would have to give him a hard luck action before he activated to.
Yeah, someone would have to. Yeah, coordinate him something or something like that.
But yeah, still interesting. Didn't know that could happen before. Because it never came up until now. Anyways, we got more ships. They released a spoiler for a new Fang fighter pilots and new TIE fighter pilots. TIE fighter being an ISB jingoist, whatever that means. Before you engage, you may choose a ship at one enemy ship in your front rank runs 0-1. If you do, that ship gets one depleter strain token of your choice, unless they choose to remove one green token.
I would pay like 22 points maximum for the ship.
I don't think it's a completely bad ability. It's just on a TIE fighter. It seems like an I-4.
It's outer trash.
I thought it was. It's after you engage. Yeah, it's pretty.
How much is an academy, Tyler? Top of your head, you gotta know this, Imperial boy.
It's 23, I think, right?
22.
22. Yep. No, I'd pay 22 for an I-4 academy with an ability that almost it could maybe one day be useful, kind of, but not really.
It's not bad. It's not completely useless. There's some worse abilities in the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, so before I shoot, I give them a strain so they lose an agility. So I have the hope of dealing damage instead of just not dealing damage.
Can you imagine this Jinguist, like, feasting off? I got to range roll with Fen Rao. Here, eat a strain token. And he just auto-evades it.
So now, if they stacked, like, that'd be cool. Because, like, so if I could have two of these guys... And the first one engages and looks at somebody else, but like gives the target I want to kill the strain and then shoots somebody else so he doesn't ditch the strain. And then the second one gives the strain, and then I shoot it with like, I don't know, Gideon? Because the guy's somehow already damaged because this is a convoluted TIE swarm and that's how we're going to get there. So I could have a four dice attack into a double strain, then maybe I would consider it. But yeah, it's still, it's on a TIE fighter, which is the worst ship in the game.
Yeah, this is going to be rough. They spoiled one splash art. For Moff Gideon's TIE splash from the Mandalorian series. So we can assume that probably he's going to be another TIE fighter pilot. Don't know his ability, but in a TIE fighter, feels bad.
Well, maybe they're going to give us a new config, which is flappy wings for our TIE fighters, because that's not canon. And we're like, they're not supposed to do that, but like, hey, they do because Gideon's cool. So then like maybe give us linked actions or something that's not terrible. Then
maybe they'll give you landing struts. On your TIE fighters.
Right. Hey, I'm fucking... Okay, I'm in.
Like, just land on asteroids. And then spin. I think the big one here, though, is the reveal of the Fen Rao in the Rebel faction. So Rebels are getting Fang fighters, which brings in a 3 attack days A ship, which the faction has not had, other than the closest thing being the E-Wing, which is not really AC. In the sense of...
which is also a garbage ship, and not I-6, so like, whatever.
Yes, so there's an I-6 Fang Fighter. Like, at this point, the pilot ability is probably just a bonus. Before a friendly ship at range 1 or 2 engages, if there's an enemy ship in your front arc at range 1, that friendly ship may remove one non-lock red token. Right there. If there's an enemy ship in its front arc, not Fenrir's, at range 1, that friendly ship may remove one non-lock red token. So, not a bad ability. There's no charges with that, so it's just always just passive ability always working. So if you're jousting up close range 1, you can start just removing non-red tokens everywhere. So if you got some strained or other things, you can remove it. I guess you could also remove ion tokens with this, being on the same boat of that. So
this is the anti-ion token.
All we ever doing.
Yeah.
All my homies hate ion tokens. We're removing all of them.
The devs are not enough for the ion meta. They had to come up with some counters.
Yeah. The biggest thing that people take care of is depletes. You can just remove deplete tokens before that ship engages and then fire at full strength.
No one cares about deplete tokens. Depletes have never mattered in any game any game of X-Wing that's ever happened.
Quite. It's an option. It's there. But yes, they're... Probably is kind of just there, but he's going to be, because he doesn't have Scum Fenrir's Pride ability, that means it's going to be probably cheaper. So, a I-6 Fang Fighter, I'm up for that. And we're assuming probably the other pilots bringing in, and it's not just going to be by himself. So, having multiple choices of Fang Fighters bring into the Rebel faction. That's mostly all the spoiler ships that they and things they brought on. There's some interesting things in here, and then probably some possibly more stuff coming out in the future. They did mention the stream that they're reaching. I think there's one more wave of stuff they mentioned of that they got from FFG. So there's gonna be a lull of releases coming in the next year because it's still down the pipeline of stuff to work on. So there'll be a lull. They're gonna fill that in with the new things they brought up. So they're doing some more quick build alt arts and alt art quick build events for store championship, not store championship, but store level events. They're doing like
store organized play.
Yeah, or store organized play. So there's they said their Aces High is like in the more of official. I guess it's gonna be played on or similar to what the Aces High they had at Worlds and as a side event. It's gonna be more, I guess, a quick build version of it or a more streamlined version. To
badge. Support.
And then
you'll take my stealth device, Lone Wolf Sunterfell, from my cold dead hands.
Yeah, they will though. You get to have your pre-built version.
Turns out, I know how to have fun, and I can play my own game. Yes. I don't need organized play for that.
Yes. So, and then they're bringing out what they called X-Wing Soccer, which is probably the worst way to describe it, but a objective-based game where there's a object that in the that you essentially shoot at to move it. To kick it over to your side of the board to get to score the objective. So both players are trying to shoot this objective to get it on the right side to get it to.
But much like Rocket League, can I just kill your car instead?
I believe they mentioned that there's a respawn mechanic. So the goal is
got it.
So yes, you can keep killing each other repeatedly, but the goal is to get that. Object from one side of the.
Listen, I played Guild Ball, and my faction was really good at going and just murdering the other team's soccer players.
You, the team can't play; they can't. You win, right? You just beat up all the players. Just make sure they're all killed or out of action. Yeah, there's probably more on that, but yeah, they're bringing out some of those. There's alt arts accompanying that, similar to the quick build alt arts the FFG brought up before. So there'll be some hopefully like little casual store stuff to fill in the gap. They are releasing with that though. They will skip over the big updates. We'll go over that in a moment. But they mentioned there's something called standard loadout ships or standard squadrons. These are going to be packs similar to quick builds, except more. The builds are going to be similar to what I guess standard loadouts a ship would normally take. At a reduced cost, if you would purchase all those upgrades to get on that ship defaultly. So these are pre-built ships with a discounted. They cannot take more upgrades, but have a discounted cost to them. So you can have a ship like.
Is this just for quick build events, or is this for like
ships,
actual?
These will have points associated to them. Can be used in regular and competitive play. They want to do with it.
Interesting. So if I okay.
So they're gonna have like so they can they're starting off with there's themed card packs starting with ships from Battle of Yavin and Battle of Coruscant. So you would have a pre-built Darth Vader, as per flown, I guess at what they thought of Battle of Yavin, and you have a points cost associated with that. So you can buy Darth Vader with his loadout that because it could be competitive at a discounted cost because you cannot add
sure. To it. So my
did Vader bring along his afterburners? And but
true. that Vader flew real straight, so I'm guessing no.
He sure did.
But like, so the real side of it is so all of the X-wings will get cheap proton torpedoes.
That's right. Yeah, it's probably gonna have they mentioned specifically Garvin Dress and like with Jack Porkins and Dutch Vander. So you probably have a pre-built Dutch Vanders and stuff like that with proton torpedoes and like bombs, maybe turret, all equipped with a discount costed to them. They also mentioned with these builds, they can now, since they can do this, similar to quick builds, some of these ships will have upgrades they're not normally allowed taking pre-built into them and pointed for it. So you can see some interesting builds on ships that will normally not be able to, you normally can't take.
That have mod slots.
Yeah. So you also mentioned there was a spoiler that the in these theme packs in the Battle of Yavin there will be interceptor builds, despite not having interceptors in the movie, that there'll be experimental or the prototype versions of the interceptors. So I'm assuming the generics with weird modifications on them.
Sure.
Pre-built.
Are these packs for sale, or is these like we go play an event and we get these packs? How do we get these packs?
I believe they mentioned the battle theme pack seemed like it was a purchasable pack, but they also mentioned that there was like going to be scenario games and scenarios around this that we ran at a store as an event, and they mentioned like you get to keep the stuff. So I'm assuming that's also going to be
interesting. We can go play at an OP event to like get stuff, or we can buy a pack with it in there.
I'm not completely sure they didn't really mention it too clearly on that. So I was half getting away at that point, Leah. But they will be available in some way or form. And it could also just be the physical cards be the tournament prizes and the. No, they mentioned the card pack. So they did mention the card pack with everything associated with them. So.
Actually, that's interesting. So do I have to use like an air quote alt art card for like my alt art, you know, rebel X-wing to get the cheap proton torpedoes on it?
Yeah, I wonder, because remember at the end of 1.0 when they had like, well, I don't know if this was 1.0, but they like there were certain cards that had like an upgrade like stapled to it, you know. They had the pilot and like an upgrade on the same card. I forget exactly what they were.
Yeah, but
I would say VI, and there was like an R2.
Well, there's a Luke Skywalker with integrated astromech and R2 astromech. Or it's not R2, R2-D2. Yeah. There's pre-built. That was.
I wonder if it's like gonna be like that, and then they're gonna make you have that to play it.
Maybe we don't know. We'll have to see when they get go to that. No, we'll know the coming down the line.
Yeah. Like war game ideology wise, this feels like when War Machine introduced like theme forces.
Yeah.
So if you play the Battle of Yavin theme force, my X-Wings get proton torpedoes at 7 points instead of 9. Basically what ends up happening.
Yes.
If I play the Battle of Yavin like Empire force, my TIE fighters get something special, right? Like so like they get a little cheaper or whatnot. But because I'm playing Battle of Yavin Rebels, I don't get to bring like E-wings, right? I only get X-wings and Y-wings.
Yeah, we don't know how far they said mentioned it. They did mention that these are each ship is like an individual, so you can just buy it instead of buying added. So you can have your list normally and just have
what standardized.
Yeah,
gotcha.
So they call them standard loadouts. As a ship is a standard loadout, as what the name.
That is a terrible name, considering standardized has a meaning in the game.
Yeah, standardized has it's a terrible one. Essentially, it's for me, how I look at it, it's a quick build ship that has points associated to it, and you can just buy that instead of buying the ship and all its upgrades.
It'd be crazy if that's how they went, because it would almost make it like their sub factions on top of like the seven factions they already are. But this is a pretty cool design space, because there's so many upgrades out there that they have to price point based off, like, Juke, for example. Like, Juke on a TIE fighter should be, what, 3-4 points?
Well, so, like, Night Beast Juke could be, like, a not terrible ship, right?
Yeah,
because absolutely. He can focus innovate every turn. Like, okay, cool, I can mod my shot, I got the shot. But, like, it's got to be expensive for Defenders and Phantoms. So, like, Night Beast never gets to play. Okay.
Well,
now we can get Juking Night Beast.
Night Beast doesn't have the EPT. But you're still
sure, same idea.
Paying,
yep.
You're not paying 7 for Juke on Valen,
right.
But
yeah.
I might pay 4 or 5. So I think that's a really cool design space that they're looking at.
Yeah, they could pre-build those ships that have Juke and have it at a discount. I like the idea of it. We'll have to see how far down the road it goes and like how crazy it is. But that's like the stuff that's coming out with the quick build stuff on top of that. They also mentioned because of the scenario game, so you can recreate the Battle of Yavin and the Battle Curse on it. Said like there'll be a environmental effects happening on. So like they mentioned like the Battle of Yavin, the big turbo laser fire shooting at your ships. So you had to make sure you're moving and stuff like that. If you're something to correspond, if Jack Porkins can hit by a turbo laser and it's exploding. Probably somewhere in there. that also they mentioned they're releasing their own campaign system, so this could be an official supported Heroes of the Eternity cluster. They didn't mention much about it, this other than they said they're working on something, so sure. That could be quite exciting for on this the other side of stuff. I really like Heroes of the Eternity cluster. It's a lot of fun. So having a an actual organized or official one could be quite nice. But they have to also compete with Heroes of the Eternity cluster because they did a pretty good job with that.
I don't. I don't know if we're gonna get into like all the crap takes that we saw on the internet the last 2 days. I actually saw someone saying like all these scenarios aren't meant for veteran players, veteran competitive players. They're meant to entice new players to bring them in.
Well, they mentioned that. They said a lot of the quick build stuff, some of the changes, which we'll be going over in a moment, were designed for new players in mind. Like, you need to, they want this game to still exist and want to get new players into it. But it is fine. Not everything has to be designed towards the...
Well, I'm just saying, I'm speaking for myself, and I'm pretty sure you guys, who are veteran competitive players, would say the same thing. Both you guys who want a system open. If they did a really cool fleshed out or some scenarios, like, what was that thing called, Tyler, that they did on Vassal, the Galactic War, whatever, the Galactic Civil War, was that it?
Yeah, yeah.
If they came out with something like that, and my locals got together and did, like, a tournament with that, where, like, I would 100% be in on something like that.
Yeah, like, well, so the other side, too, is with things like an actual campaign system, you get a large market of the board, like, a large board game market that X-Wing currently doesn't cater to, right? Like, there's a lot of people that look at the game and go, like, oh, these ships look really cool. Oh, this is a really cool game, but like, I'm not a competitive player. That's not my thing, right? And they would rather have two or three buddies that they get together once a week and play, you know, like one mission, like one descent style mission, right? Like a week.
That's fine. I mean, I've played Imperial Assault with friends who like,
yeah, exactly. Literally exactly that. Yep.
But I'm just saying for myself, as someone who's played competitive X-Wing for many, many years, I would totally, I mean, we did it. Heroes of the Atari Cluster campaign. It was awesome. So I would totally be down for it. I just wanted to make that point because I've seen some people say that online.
No, a lot of people, this is going to get to a lot of people in it. I think it's also good to have the diversity because sometimes you want to take a break from necessarily the tournaments.
Absolutely.
To
you want to take a break.
To screw around and have the jank, right? And have some silly stuff. No, it's good. That's what a lot of people are looking for to this campaign system. If they do it well, and hopefully they take from like Heroes of the Eternity cluster and other things like that, and it can be pretty robust, that's going to be a great addition. But with that, straight into the big updates that they mentioned that they're working on. We'll start with the light one first. First one they brought out is they're adding a round limit to the rules. This is the core rules, per se, because right now, if you actually look at the rules, especially with, like the starter box, there is no end to the game other than your ships being destroyed. There's no other technical win condition or end of game condition. So they wanted to add something to the rules to add a definitive end to the game. Because theoretically, if you follow the rules, the game can last forever, as they mentioned. You have to wait for ships to go. So adding a round limit. The round limit is set to 12 rounds, which a lot of people are up like, that feels like too short. But people did the math before and did like the average number of rounds games were lasting, and I think they got to, what, 11 or 13, somewhere around that. 12 seems pretty reasonable. And they said in the rules you can do quick games of 9 rounds and long games of 15. We do not know how this is going to affect organized play. They're not mentioning how it works. If it's going to switch to rounds only, but probably the web people are...
Well, there's no way organized play will ever be rounds only.
Yes, I was about to get to. The most likely... If they want to put rounds in, it's going to be 12 rounds or time, whichever occurs first.
Yep.
Which is
all I know is people that are really bad at math play X-Wing, and I'm going to get very frustrated when I have you beat because, like, I have Vader Defender, and you can only deal one damage to me a turn, and you don't have enough turns left in the game to shoot me that many times, and I go GG, and you're like, no, I can still shoot you, and I'm like, but no, you can't. Like, it's over, and I don't want to have to be expected to play anymore because, hey, the game's over. Let's go grab a beer.
Yeah.
All I know is I'm going to be one salty boy if I am up the whole game and then I get down on the 12th round, but I'm still in a pretty good position, but the game has to stop right there.
Because it's 12 rounds, yeah, but you should have 20 minutes.
Even if you have time, yeah. But that's, like, I think the issue with all turned game round games, like, 40K had that issue in sometimes, especially they run the same something most 40K tournaments run time, and the game also is based maximum of like 6 turns or 7, depending if you go with the random turn order, but you start rolling at 5, and a time limit, because you have to have a time limit. You can't just run rounds, because people, if there's no time limit, you're going to have, what was it, the classic chess problem, where you can take like 3 hours of your turn.
Well, yeah, no, but it's not even like it's because one game will, right? You hold up an entire tournament because
one game
you get two CIS players that take 45 minutes to do one round, and it's...
As much as like people want to conclude, get to that 12th round, especially two swarms, and they only play normally like 6 because they have take forever, they have to put a timeline in. It's just logistically, you can't have a tournament. It'll just take way too long to do. Especially like back when the old store championships, when there was no time limit on the final round, and those had the regen versus regen, and 3 hours later nothing gets hurt, or just two ships. It's like that. There's a reason why the time limit was put in, and it needs to stay. Nothing will ever finish. So agency though, if they go to the rounds as well as the time in OP, I'm assuming they will, but we can't really assume too much. But that's like the first like smaller one. We'll go. They mentioned that points are coming at the end of the month, and with big lots of changes, they're doing a huge sweeping amount. They said they've been looking at it for like the last long while. I'm not sure when the last point change was, but I guess they've been working it since then, or since they got the stuff. So they
probably all right.
I believe it was June of last year. There was a points update there, but. AMG has had this since November of last year. It's been everything's mashed together. But it looks like they've been working on it since they got all the stuff over from FFG. So this entire lull has been them working on the points. So we'll have to see how much they said they were working on the big meta effects right now being Django Zam that you mentioned specifically, and they've been looking at ships that are very underused, and they want to buff them up, so we expect to see changes there. So this is probably one of the biggest point changes going to happen in as of 2.0 history. excuse me. Other than that, they also brought they mentioned that they're releasing they want to release more 1.0 ships that haven't been reprinted into 2.0. So expect that to come down the line. We'll see how long that takes if they do manage to get it. So gunboat stonks going down. No more $200 gunboats if you need gunboats. But let's get into the big change they mentioned. So the big ones they mentioned is on the note of bidding and the bids of the game. So they've been working on this for a while, so they're trying different things, trying to make it work, because they felt that the bidding was not helping the game. The list building in the field of the game is going downhill because of it. So what they have set on to at least try, and or at least what they're implementing in, is bids are now gone. They're moving to a random turn order, is how they mentioned it.
Bids don't do anything anymore. Spending less points than your opponent does not let you decide initiative order.
Yes.
Is a better way of saying that. Because you still don't have to spend 200 points.
Yes, you still don't have to spend 200 points. We'll get into that. There's a secondary caveat with that, with the deficit scoring they added with this, which being is any points you did not spend in your list up to the 200 limit. So let's say you spend 197. Those 3 points left get given to your opponent at the beginning of the game as points scored. So you're very encouraged to spend every single point you can on your list. Because any points left over give you nothing, but put you at a disadvantage at the start If let's say your opponent spent 200, you spent 197, you're automatically losing the game to start. So you need to be the attacker, per se, and be the one who engages. The big change is meta-wise, because it really changes how you're going to construct a list. You want to spend everything, and that since it's going to be a random turn order. The mention, though, the random turn order, they didn't say if it's going to be you randomize every round and stuff like that.
Right.
That
I would be massively surprised if that's the case.
Yeah, I would also be like, I dislike games having the random turn order every turn, every round. The idea of like playing some games, the double turns, like, oh, I went first or I went.
Yeah, no, yeah. Being able to first last somebody is really, really strong. And they could rebalance around it, but it is very clearly not balanced around that.
Yes, and the easiest way to probably have it, at the very beginning of the game, you just roll off to see who's first player.
Yeah,
and
it's coin flip.
And that's it. The other way to do it is the alternating, so you roll off the beginning and then it alternates every round. I don't think I'm going to go that way because it gets complicated to remember who's on what, but that is one other direction.
Well, then the other side of it is you random roll at the start of every round.
Yeah.
Which is even worse.
Yeah, so
Nobody wants that.
Yeah, it's best to have it at the very beginning. We roll once to see who is. We do complete random. Literally just assign someone here, heads, your tails, whoever flips on, that's the first player. Done. Don't even call it. Don't even say like whoever rolls.
Well, so that's what it used to be back in the day.
Yeah.
It was you rolled a die and like one player was hits. And if that player rolled hits, he didn't get a choice. You just had initiative.
Yeah,
and you're rolling to see who gets initiative.
Don't give him the choice. He just rolls. He has initiative. I remember.
I feel like a lot of these people who are up in arms, they must not have played like 1.0.
That's very early 1.0, right? That's like I remember doing that back in wave 3, maybe.
Yeah, I think wave 4. So wave 4 was when it changed.
Yeah, because I played very little then. Because my first tournaments, I remember that as the first, but after that, I remember it changing very quickly into whoever rolls picks, and then went to the bidding.
Well, system, so right? But the other side was back then. If you had a bid, you got initiative. You couldn't bid to not take initiative.
Yes, that was true. If you spent less points, you were the automatically the first player, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So.
I had a number of Sunterfell games where I had to spend all 200 points and then hope to win.
Yeah, exactly. It was very different. But yeah, having it just completely, literally just, whoever wins, whoever, you make a call, whoever, if it's called, you're first player. Done.
Yep.
Right? Take just no question about it. No, like I want first, or I get to choose. Force it at one person and then done. That's it.
So now, everybody out there listening that's been freaking out about this, let me drop some knowledge on you. Everyone thinking that aces are now dead, like aces got comically better because of this. Like now, I don't have to worry about bidding against other ace players. We just both have to fight it, and one of us gets the 50-50 roll off, and you have to be able to play that. You can win with your aces moving first. It's not an auto loss. And more importantly, against every other matchup, I now have 20 plus extra points to spend.
Yeah, you could now check your aces. Huge. You could check your aces for where the situation that you put you at a disadvantage, so you're not so much of a disadvantage. If you're worried about the mirror matchup, you'd spend those extra 20 points on where you're going to be moving first. Right?
Sure. Like other options to help you deal with the aces.
Yeah.
So.
As well as if you're worried about a swarm, you can now tech your entire aces to have the help versus that swarm. Like this.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand how many people are sacrificing for that bid now no longer have to. There's no more 20 points. I was talking to my friend about these changes because he flew the Sunfac and I think 5 vultures at Worlds in 2019, and he was sacrificing a whole vulture droid for a bid. Like you don't have to do that
anymore. Oh, I absolutely did too. Yeah, I had a 12 point or like a 13 point bid or some crap like that.
Yeah, I think he ran even larger.
I had the I3 vultures, right? That was the
I think it was running the I1s, but all that now throw away. You can now that list now can just I can take my Discord missiles now.
Literally that. Like, I could have had Discord missiles the entire time. That's such a silly...
Yeah, because you don't need a bid anymore. You don't need to fight that. Right. So, this is a huge boon that people don't realize how
it's so good.
Crazy this can be. Like, this also, the ability, of passive sensor Vader in the TIE Advanced is
yep.
comically like great.
Give him sense. Guess who's the always he's, moving last? Yeah,
he is like he can have perfect as he can barrel roll in the before he activates, and he's now gonna. Yep. Sometimes he wanted to move before because he wanted to shoot first. So now yep. like it's like win-win. It's like either I'm moving last in the opposition or I'm shooting before you and moving. Right,
yeah.
So this is
really... Turns out we're all safe because Vader Defender is still just the better option, so we won't ever see it. But
there's many choices out there with these with this now, and people now are actually going to take the upgrades. Like my mind is can't even fathom all the choices now with like these changes. There's so much with that one change of removing the big changes list building completely.
Yep.
So we're gonna
if you're running like triple A's. Like, sense is almost going to be basically a guarantee. I was telling Tyler, like, you might even start to see two senses in a list. People, like, might just start to bring, like, those Jedi Knights or the cheapest Force carriers they can.
Yep.
Basically just for the sense. Mm-hmm. But the fallout of all this is you guys saying, like, aces are going to get better. You know, the tournament data that we have right now is a pretty small sample size, but just looking at it, lists with four ships or less look like they're performing better than lists with five or more. And I'm of the opinion, but not blaming anyone when I say this, I understand it's very difficult, but I'm of the opinion that there still is a lot of balancing that needs to be done with points, and this is just going to add more to it, because... Yeah, basically all these initiative 5 and 6 aces just got pretty considerably better.
Yes. So on this, they also mentioned, so the next step is they're adding a banned and restricted list. So they could decide that
they're not. It's just hyperspace. It's the same thing.
Yeah, the hyperspace. But it's very similar because hyperspace essentially is that. The difference is that I guess all formats will have to follow this, so you won't have an extended list.
No, first of all, we don't know anything.
Sure,
like, what we know is, we have a ban restricted list, which is literally what hyperspace is. It's just a ban list. It always has been.
Yes.
It's just a dumb name for a ban list, so now we just have the name ban list.
Yes.
Restricted is interesting, because like maybe now we can actually get... Like the dot limitations on ships that didn't have it before, and get their points reduced.
Yep,
which would be cool.
They can adjust live or as per.
Yeah, they can say that. That's basically what they're getting access
to.
They can also go the route
I believe some games do. There's a list of cards. You can only take two from this list.
You get one off the list.
Yeah, so they can literally just put a list of like all the different sense things. You get one of them. It's like. You can have one sense in your list, and that can be a restricted card, right?
Sure, you could go that route, or it's more of a if you want sense. Sense is the only card off that list you can have, so you still probably can have more than one copy. But if you have sense, you can't have passive sensors, for example, or something like that, right? Like you break the combos that way.
Yeah, there's many choices they can do with that restricted list, which is the big announcement. If they go how far to go down with that, so.
So some people were asking, like, why is this necessary when they already have points?
People realize that you can't point something. Some things you always take without points because there'll be a purpose for it. Because, yes, you can point something to Oblivion, but then you reach a point like, hey, if you can't kill the ship, you hide those points. Like, it turns out Supernatural Reflex is even at, what, like 24 points on Kylo Ren. Still really good.
I spent 40 points on Kylo Ren, but yeah.
Exactly.
So the real answer there, though, is, right, like, so if one of the things that's kind of oppressive is when you see Supernatural plus Prime Thrusters. So that lets that Kylo do basically anything he wants. Hey, if we have Supernatural and Primed on the same list, now we don't have to worry about that. He only gets one of the two.
Yeah.
I think the other thing, too, is they want to stick to the every 6 months, because if there's, like, constant point changes, like, that's going to be kind of annoying for tournament players to have to deal with, like, just the constant... I think they just, like, have it every 6 months, so players can look and know, okay, that costs that much, all right, cool. Other than, you're at a tournament, oh, crap, I thought he was... That guy was 32, I guess they changed him to 36 last week, didn't they? I forgot. I think that's also factoring in.
Yeah, you don't want to do too many frequent changes, because you need it still to settle, right? There's going to be a experimental time for the bit, and being a not like a online game where you can play hundreds of games or have hundreds of thousands of players constantly, like League or something like that, where they have a lot of data coming in. The data only comes in per tournament basis, and the tournaments can be very widely ranked on how many players there are. So it's going to take a while.
And the player skill of said tournament.
Yes. So you need any game in person is going to take a lot, needs a lot of time to collect data to see where it's actually going. You don't want to make, so they need time to get to collect that data and adjust it. Also, you're going to have if it's constant changing, everything in flux, you'll never get any data. It'll all be constant. It's like noise, right? It's too hard to see where the direction is going and what's happening with it, right?
Just wanted to say I was pretty skeptical, going before this. First of all, who was the guy on the bottom that was by himself? What was that guy's name, Caitlin?
I believe that was Preston. It's on the thing. I'll bring up the...
Plumber?
It was on the top with Simone.
Gotcha.
He made a comment that, when they announced, the changing of the bidding and such, that, Twitch, he's like, we know this... I think he said something to the effect of, we know
this is going to be... He knows this is going to be controversial. Yeah, this guy in the middle. Let me bring it up,
He said, based off of Twitch chat, he can already tell it's going to be controversial. Just a shout out to the devs, because I know they totally listen to our podcast. Please don't feel obligated to read Twitch chat, ever. I wouldn't, the last time they did this, 6 months ago or whatever, it was their first, announcement or whatever, when they got X-Wing, just try to say, what they had in the pipeline, basically. And I remember some people online were, pissed that they didn't answer any questions from Twitch chat. Do you realize how absurd that
Twitch chat is the most wholesome and important thing that has ever happened in the history of man?
How do you pick and choose? Oh, God. I can't even begin to state the absurdity of that statement.
Twitch chat is just there for jambling, okay? If I want my jambling.
Jambling and copypastas.
Yeah.
The only things that matter in life.
But he also, he made the comment when they were talking about this that he feels like X-Wing, and I thought it was cool to hear him say this because you don't know where these devs are at. They just got the game. Do they understand, what the game is? And he said, we feel like X-Wing at its core has gotten away from what it's supposed to be. I guess, first of all, I'm sure you guys do, but do you both agree with that sentence?
I don't know what he agrees at the core it should be.
Yeah.
I think yes, because I kind of view one of the core functions of X-Wing that made it a really fun game that I, my dad and I looked at, 10 years ago or some shit like that, and go, hey, I want to play this game. This looks like a cool game, is that the dials mattered, your decisions mattered, right? And it was typically just I'm guessing, did he do a three bank? Did he do a one straight, right? And a lot of that's kind of not the same game anymore.
Yeah,
I feel that same.
I agree with you. When I first tried X-Wing, got to see it brought back the memories of playing sixth edition fantasy. I'm trying to guess what my opponent's gonna do. Did I guess the range correctly? Did I get myself in the right position? Did I move, I had to guess when I moved the dial. The dial was super important because I couldn't do anything after it for a lot of my ships. And I was it felt great when you guess correctly or could read your opponent, right? And that feels a lot less than it was back in the day.
Yeah. Most people want that. It is, trying to read, guess, get into your opponent's head, try to put them on a move, and then also, you're testing your spatial reasoning skills. I wondered when I heard him say that if there was a hint of, because he also talked about objective play being worked on, I wondered if there was a hint of we don't like fortressing in that. I hope that there was.
Fortressing never did anything wrong.
I also think the first hyperspace we went to, Kaelin, when there were those, the A-Wings were just everywhere, and I'm just chasing them with my swarm.
Yeah.
And, like, I kill, I finally, like, half point one on the last turn of the game. That, to me, is not X-Wing at its core. And I'm not saying, like, aces should be forced to joust. I'm not saying that, but stuff should die. And I had thought that in 2.0, with all the removal, that, you know, them removing so much of the defensive stacking, tokens, modifications, I thought that we were going to get back to that a lot. And I almost feel like stuff dies more slowly in, right now than it did at 1.0.
But with the they removed a lot of the attack modifications, as well as now there's a lot, I think it feels a lot more prevalence of two attack dice, and it's two attack dice, one mod, with a lot of lists, especially at the beginning, which is not very accurate, especially when fighting against...
It turns out two attack dice is just awful.
Yeah. So it's inconsistent to hit something, right? In which was not really kind of the case of back in 1.0. Like I never played a TIE Swarm beating, but like I know the pains of seeing watching like TIE Swarm versus TIE Swarm back with back in the original 1.0 without, like, if you didn't have HAL Runner and it was just two TIE Swarms fighting against each other, I don't think like anything happened, because it's becomes a giant block fest of unmodified three dice attacks at range one to kill something. Because nothing died at range two to three.
Well, I don't think anyone wants those days back either.
But that's what we're kind of with the 2.0 went to, right? Is two attack dice, single mods versus three agility, right? But like, there was a lot of attack modifiers that came out in 1.0 eventually, so you could even hit targets. And then they added in huge defensive mods. It was a race to, can you get so many defensive mods you can't get hit, or have so many offensive mods you can hit? And then they wiped both of those from 2.0, at least to start, and most shit...
The one thing that I think has persisted, though, if not improved, is movement. And I think that's a big thing. There's so many more movement options, you know, pre-dial movement. I think that's a big
thing. Unless you're a TIE fighter.
I'm saying, like, in certain ships.
Maybe improve a lot.
Like ETAs, for example.
A lot more. The some ships where they left almost exactly the same as 1.0, like the TIE fighter. That's why it kind of feels bad, right? Did it give this only one K turn? They remove the second K turn from it? I can't even remember.
I think it's exactly the same.
It does look exactly the same. So, like, unchanged. Like, why do you think no one uses like the Kirax Fighter? Because they didn't give it the X Wing treatment. They gave it no linked actions. They gave it nothing other than a barrel roll. It's like, it feels bad. They didn't upgrade its dial, right? The M3A, the start, got actually a worse dial than it had in 1.0, and still the linked action. The only reason why it got anywhere decent because they had to discount it down to the point cost of a TIE fighter and still have the cannon slot and the extra hit point, right? To make it spammable.
Well, usable.
Yeah, usable, right? Like, no one used that ship on release 2.0 because it couldn't be used. Comparing to all the adjustments they made to make other ships feel better, they didn't do that across the board, right? Not like...
Yeah, no, like, that's the thing that I've complained about it a lot, but like, yeah. The TIE Fighter feels like a Wave 1 1.0 ship because it is.
It is, yeah. The classic X-Wing, since the S-Foils went on the release of end of 2.0 and then adding that as a standard, it has access to the barrel, it can have access to choice of boosts, it has access to the link, it gets the talent rolls. Boost
link focus, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
it has
so
good many
now.
Choices to it, right? Like, some ships, like the Y-Wing, even just giving it the access to the one Banks blues and the red barrel and changed it so much, right?
Yeah, no, that's the thing that actually makes me mad is that Y-Wings and Z-95s got barrel rolls and TIE Fighters got nothing.
Yeah, so that's where the feel of the ships, like some ships felt like they got, is like, I'm in agree with the TIE, like the TIE Fighter, the Kirax Fighter, the M3A, like the E-Wing, it got a linked action and a special ability, but like, it feels so shit because of it, because that's like the worst linked action and the worst thing, it's like,
it's pretty rough.
Right, they could have made that ship. These are things that AMG can't address immediately. It's something that it happened in 2.0, And which one of the things that the only way to fix this is new print out new cards and new dials, right? That has to be a new edition kind of sense of that.
So like the
or at least
we talked about before the ship started was like the or I guess the it might have been during cast, but like you can release new upgrade cards, yes. Right? Like TIE Fighter only, right? Like we can release, they can do stuff.
The titles, yes. Sorry, they can do that. Which is some fixes. To adjust colors of the dial if necessary and other linked actions. Yes, they could go that route.
Yeah.
And which would be the right direction to go to. Because, yeah, some ships just feel... They feel bad because they are bad. They can't be... nothing you can do about it. You can release... You have to release a pilot so good, and it probably still wouldn't be used because chassis is just... You can't do anything. Right?
Yep.
Because think of how many ships don't have a chassis ability that... Like, how many ships are used that don't have a chassis ability? Because, like, TIE Fighters don't have a chassis, they're not used. But, like,
I'm trying to think if I've used one. Oh, TIE Barons don't, do they? No, they do. No, they don't.
TIE Barons are one of the few. Taps. So, like, they have a good dial, and they have linked actions.
They have really good linked actions. Turns out that's their ship ability, is have good linked actions.
Yeah, right? Like, most ships either have good linked actions and good chassis abilities, or both. Right? And those are the ships being used. Like... we'll have to see what happens in the future. That's long down the line to see what AMG decides to do with that. They go a bit off from the stream now, getting a lot worried how we got to this tangent. But I think that's pretty much everything the stream mentioned. One thing I actually want to bring it back on the stream. Even if you have your criticisms of AMG, don't like the direction this is going. One thing I will mention was like a big plus. It looks like they're looking at the game and they see what is wrong with it. Even if they might not agree what their changes are, they look like they are trying to actually make it better. So
you have to give them a chance to, right?
Yeah, we have to give them a chance. I've all the things I mentioned, like. Even like what you said, like Blair with Will mentioning that it's controversial, but at least they're doing something about it. They could have just said, "Oh, this is controversial. We're not going to touch it."
No, absolutely. Yeah. They are like at the very least, yes, they are. They are trying. They absolutely are.
And from the mentions they talked about, like it looks like some of these players have been playing X-Wing on and off since 1.0, so they have played this game before. They have done it outside of not being game devs. So I think. And like Will mentioned that he wants this game to continue. He wants to hand it down and be like his legacy when he retires from this position, that the next person can take it and keep going with it, right? And he mentioned that as what like his goal is with this. So it looks like that the people in charge right now look like they want to bring this in a good direction. And we'll see how their flavor and their change to the game brings it, right? We'll give them time, right? And if what's the worst that can happen? That we play 2.0 classic as like other fantasy players, as like or other game systems, or it could, or just stop playing.
We just keep playing squadrons,
or just play squadrons. Right? Like, yeah. How many people have actually played it? Like, it's still just a game. We can still have fun, and the community can slowly die out, but like the friendships and other things we've met with other people are going to stay. Right? Like. Blair,
turns out I'm going to go play board games with my friends that I met playing X-Wing.
Exactly, right? Like,
all right.
That's not going to disappear, right? We still have the communities of people are still going to exist. So, like, this is still going to go on in other ways. So, like, but I'm looking forward to these changes. One actually small plug, we have a local event happening coming October, and... We're doing some finalization of the organization because with this announcement, and then they reached out to me today about it. So we're probably going to be running, if all these changes go through, including the bidding, with the points change happening this September, at the end of September, we're going to run it with that. So we'll have a local event, hopefully with a decent turnout with all these new changes, and I can report back on that. And I'm looking forward to running it or participating in seeing how it works out, because it's going to be probably only 2 weeks of prep from the change, so it'll be thrown straight into the fire. It'd be great. We'll look to see how it all turns out. I'm looking forward to it. So, does anyone else have anything to bring up before we, I guess, sign off?
Are we even going to talk about the hunters thing? That kind of got brush it aside with all this new announcement.
Sorry, let's have a look.
The hunters versus hunted thing that they announced. Did you see that, Kaylin?
No. What did they announce?
Oh, none of you guys saw that? It's just like some like small event that they said that like I don't know if there's it's kind of weird. I don't know what exactly they're like wanting players to do, but basically they said like you get like a 200, you build your 200 point list, and then you get like there's like a free agent pool of like pre-loaded out pilots that are all in like the 67 point range that you take as a free agent. And then I think they like, oh, let me see the rules right here.
These bounty hunter were already announced.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I did not look at that. The splash rules for it.
Okay. They just announced it on the 8th, and then on the 9th they got this big thing. So I don't think anyone's even really even talking about it. It looked like I might play one game with it, but yeah.
Would you just pick a ship and add it to your 200-point list, or do you swap out one of your ships for it?
You pick a ship and add it to your 200-point list. If that ship dies, you automatically lose. Yeah, I think.
that's it.
Is that really basic? Come on, it's gotta be. Well,
there's probably something else around it, but it's just a hunting season thing, there, you said. So they're essentially a bounty hunter trying to protect your bounty while taking out someone else's bounty. It's the base of it.
All I know is there was a bunch of butthurt about it because it's supposed to be this weekend, and we found out about it like 3 days ago, and everyone's like, we could have made an event out of this. And I'm like, just ask people to come play if they can. Cool. If not, whatever, man.
Yeah.
It's all good. Like, I have other stuff to do. I'm not going to go play that this weekend. It's okay.
Yeah, it's
not mad.
If your free agent kills the other free agent, you automatically win.
Oh, okay. So your agents need to shoot each other and need to protect them.
I see. Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, yes, right? Like, yeah. All right, cool, whatever.
Yeah. And they said it's a progressive global event for X-Wing. It's going to be played over the course of 3 days, but that's kind of like all they really said, so.
Yeah, and mind you, it started today, I think, right?
I think it starts today, yeah. Yep. All
right, cool. Well, I see this on other things. I think whoever was hyped for this and do a campaign, they'll be right on it. Anyone's complaining about it, I bet you there's like somewhere around you that will be running it or willing to run it with you. Just
yeah, and like I think the bulk of the complaining is like some like weird FOMO of like a random organized play event. Like whatever, man. Like it's okay. Yeah, and turns out, like, they're going to release the rule set. If you want to do it with your friends some other day, just go do it with your friends some other day, right? Like, yeah.
And did they mention, like, it has to be, like, oh, we're only recording games from this weekend? Like,
what happens? Like, who cares if they're recording games? What's
like,
it matter?
Yeah, right? like, I'm wondering where the butthurt's coming from. They give you a rule set to play it. Play the game.
Yeah, right? Like, I don't get it.
Like,
I don't get
like,
it.
Like, oh, they gave us, they want to run it this weekend. But, like, you could.
But my bounty hunter has to win, Kaylin. It's got to be the one I picked.
Yeah.
Where do you guys think they're going to do Worlds at?
I don't know.
If it's hard to say like how they want to run it, right? If they can go local, it'd be near Seattle, because they don't have to travel far, or they're going to actually like what you mentioned. It is a global event; they want to have people travel, make it somewhere that's easy for people to travel. So maybe Vegas, right? Because people can get there, right? The space. I have no idea. They could do so many choices. Like, did they pick Central? Did they change it? Whether they decide to do it in a different country or a different continent?
It's in Poland. Let's go back.
Yeah,
that's the other thing. I think it's either one of those two, or they just do it in a different location every year.
Yeah, it is very difficult to say how much. Like, it depends on how much. Like, I don't. The first one probably is going to be content in the United States. Because it's it's going to be something that's be easy and make sure it's they can remove as many risks as possible.
Well, if that's it, then it might not be the continental U.S. because I'm pretty sure in about another 6 months, every other country in the world is going to have a higher vaccination rate.
Risks in the sense of money and business.
That's what you meant. Oh, okay.
Right? Think of it, they still have business, right? What's going to cost them? Right, they're not going to
listen, Blair. Everyone that isn't vaccinated is going to die off, and then we won't have problems anymore. It's going to be fine. It's fine. A self-selecting problem.
But yeah, if you just think of it as a business, right? Like, if they want to remove risk, right? So you don't remove risk of transportation of things. If your entire stockpile is sitting in Seattle, you don't want to worry about transporting it across the country, right?
Right, and in theory, they have relationships in the Seattle area, so they could probably get a venue easier, right? Like, and there's a whole bunch of reasons why they would do it locally and close.
Yes,
it's
the same reason.
I've never gotten to go to the Pacific Northwest.
No,
so
there you go.
I would be down to visit for at least one time.
Yeah, I'm afraid because I don't have to drive like 2 hours to get there.
If they do it in Seattle. All I have to say is, there's a small arcade that
it's like, are we playing? Are we playing?
We're going to have an NFL Blitz tournament.
Okay, I was going to ask if we were going to play in a random Rocket League tournament, but okay.
The Rocket League is kind of It's kind of just like any. That's not open all the time. It's like they have to they plan that stuff. Gotcha. They're not doing one like every weekend. That was just kind of. I don't even know how I found out about that. I'm just a member.
You just want to flex on people being the only person there with a mouse and keyboard to play Rocket League.
I don't. Funny thing enough is I don't play with it anymore. My friend finally got me to convert over to controller, but yeah.
You just flexed that one time and then.
We actually went 2-1, which is actually
I watched you win a game on Twitch. That's all I have to say.
It was way better than we thought we were gonna do because we were only ranked gold at that time. But dude, I don't know if I told you back when this happened, but this 9-year-old kid shows up with his mom, and she's like, "My son wants to play in this tournament, but he doesn't have a partner." And the guy who's running it is like, "Oh, it's cool. I'll play with him." This kid was legitimately a grand champion, and the guy that was running the tournament was just a scrub, and the kid just carried him, and they won the whole thing. No joke.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That makes it even better.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm not a butthurt. Trying to get beat by a 9-year-old
kid. I don't know. Well, I mean, hold on, it's nerds, but yes. I wouldn't have been mad. I would have just laughed the whole time, right? But I can see a lot of nerds being mad.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, the kid wasn't a nerd either, was the thing. I was talking to his mom, and she's like, "Yeah, I really don't like him playing video games, but he loves it so much that I just let him play this one game, and that's it." I even picked the right one, it looks like.
He just dumpsters everyone. Good times. Anyways. Well, I think
this was fun. We're successfully off topic enough.
Yeah, we're off topic enough. I think that's a good.
Everyone, take a collective breath. Take a step back. Understand that X-Wing will be okay.
Yeah, you can scream all you want. It's not on fire.
Yeah, give people a chance to fix stuff.
Yeah.
Trust me when I tell you that Aces are actually really good, and I expect all of them to go up in price with this this change to how bidding works.
Yeah.
Then if they don't, then we're going to see a lot of Aces winning a bunch of stuff.
I expect to see other restricted list.
Weirdly enough,
restricted list will have Vader and Vader Defender and Redline, so you can only have one or the other.
I mean, I can make a list that doesn't have Redline in it, but I'll be real sad if I still don't get to play Vader Defender.
It'll just have the entire pre-roll list in restricted.
whole faction's restricted. Okay.
Good times. Anyway.
All right. This was fun.
You have.
Maybe we'll do this again when we get the points update at the end of the month.
We'll have to get to break that down. Ugh.
Sure.
There's just so much to happen. All right. Well, there's going to be so much change just coming in the next couple of months. There's so much happening. Anyways, enough of that. Blair, you want to sign us off?
Hang on.
Bye.